Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. You can read all of his fine efforts at brownzone.com. He is Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Scotty.
It's a therapeutic victory Monday here on Baskin and Phelps.
Nice.
About that, huh?
Yeah, it's unusual. Yeah,
wow, I feel the love coming all the way from your house on this
thing,
man.
You're pretty pumped about it. I'm glad to hear that. Before we get into anything else, I love the balance. Well, 211 yards passing, 216 yards rushing, a 92-yard run will skew that a little bit, but that's all well and good. You can't take those things away. I have been impressed with what Freddie Kitchens is doing with the offense.
I agree, and I think it's on a few different levels. Baker feels more comfortable. That's obvious. He's getting more guys involved. You saw more Breshad Perriman the last couple of weeks. You saw more Duke Johnson, especially against the Chiefs. Antonio Callaway makes a couple plays here and there. A little more set the valve. And then Greg Robinson at left tackle has made a difference. And the protection's better. And when you put all that stuff together, it means the offense looks smoother. There's that good balance. I think the defense doesn't know what to focus on to try to stop. And all those are good signs. And I think a lot of credit has to go to Freddie Kitchens.
All right, so why does Baker Mayfield look better? Is it Freddie, or is it just that he's got less voices in his head, or as Coach Sam said, it's a little bit of having a running attack?
Well, I mean, the running attack helps, but I think I would put most of it on just Baker's natural development. But I do think a big factor is getting rid of Hugh and Todd Haley. I think Baker, you know, a lot of other guys on the team talked about how they didn't sense the discord and it didn't seem like it was a big deal. Hugh would sit in the back of the meetings and Todd would run them. But Baker being the quarterback in the number one pick, I think he felt more of that. I think he felt more of the tug of war. And he had Hugh in his ear a little bit. And he was trying to be kind of faithful, loyal to Todd Haley. And when you get those guys out of the way and you bring in Freddie Kitchens, who is a likable guy, everybody who's played for him and been around him really likes and respects him, I think it allowed Baker to kind of flip the script and turn the page and, okay, let's move forward. And Freddie has talked about going to these guys during the week and saying, what do you want to do? What are your favorite plays to run? And I think Todd Haley was more stubborn, and he had his way of things, and Baker was going to have to adjust. And I think Freddie Kitchens has found a nice balance. And then you get Rashard Higgins back healthy. And, you know, a few other things go into it. Greg Robinson at left tackle. Baker doesn't have to feel scared back there. He went from getting sacked five times a game to not getting sacked yesterday and wasn't really touched much the week before against Kansas City. And when you feel comfortable in the pocket, you play better.
And so let's get into this just a little bit with Greg Robinson. It was interesting to me after the first week when Baker immediately said something about Greg Robinson. And now everybody's, you know, saying, hey, he's looking pretty good over there. I thought everybody was pretty impressed with Desmond Harrison, no? And where does this go? Where does it sit? And is Greg Robinson playing that well, or is he just playing better than Desmond Harrison?
Right. My guess is Desmond Harrison is still the long-term answer at left tackle. Now, that's providing he stays trouble-free, right? I mean, we know he had a circuitous route in college and wound up at West Georgia and didn't play a whole lot of college football because of off-the-field stuff. So, you know, that's always going to be a question mark and in the back of your mind. But he's physically gifted, and I think he might even be more physically gifted than Greg Robinson. He's got really good feet. When you have that feet and athleticism, it allows you to do a lot of stuff at left tackle. But after everybody was so excited about him after the first few weeks, teams decided to just bull rush him. And he wasn't either strong enough or technically sound enough to stop the bull rush. And that led to him getting walked back into Baker. And it's tough to live that life as a quarterback. Greg Robinson is thicker. He's more experienced. He, too, he was a number two pick in the draft, so he has athleticism. And I think he's just more solid. I don't think he's perfect. If he were perfect, he'd still be with the Rams. But, and we saw a couple holds yesterday within, you know, on one series. But he's better, and I think he's more consistent, and that gives Baker a comfort level. And who knows what Harrison's like in practice or in meetings. But for Baker to be so, to give so much praise to Gregory Robinson so early,
yeah,
I think it shows you that he was bothered by what was going on at left tackle, whether it was, you know, during the week or just on Sundays, not being able to trust that the protection would hold up over there.
Yeah, Scott, that was the weird thing to me, is that it so quickly in just one game, and it was a game, you know, that they didn't win, right, against Kansas
right.
City. It was weird to me to hear him say that. So I think that's something to really keep an eye on moving forward. Nick Chubb yesterday, incredibly impressive on the 92-yard touchdown run. But I think there's a lot more to what he's doing than that. He looks like the real deal.
Well, here's the thing with Tim. First of all, he impresses me more and more every week. And, you know, when he's only getting the two or three carries a game, you know, you say, oh, this guy's got something to him, but, you know, he loses some yards. You'd see him run sideways a little bit. You didn't know if he was ready for the starting role. And obviously John Dorsey thought he was ready because he trades Carlos Hyde. You know, that move was not met with ringing endorsements. People wondered why the move was made. Now it's completely clear why the move was made, because Nick Chubb needed the ball more. And, you know, he fights for those 3- and 4- and 5-yard gains. And Baker talks about how important that is and how each yard matters and how the fight, and it takes a toll on the defense. So that's the first thing that impresses me with Nick Chubb. And then you see him put his foot in the ground, get up the field, and run away from the defense. And there's not a lot of guys at 225 pounds that can do that and that can win between the tackles and win in open space. And he can do that. And when you can do both those things, you have the potential to be really special as a player. And we saw both those skills on full display yesterday. And that gives you the running game, Jeff, that you've been looking for forever.
Yep.
You know, there's no reason to think he can't be that guy, because I don't think any of these things disappear. I don't, defenses can't adjust to what he does because he's just good at what he does.
The other thing that, I mean, I just noticed it yesterday, and it's been over the last 2 weeks. I had to go back and double check. But they've tried to throw passes to 10 different guys each week over the last 2 weeks. And even with Mayfield trying to, you know, at least having a target yesterday. But to watch them try to spread out this offense a little bit more and do a little bit without having, I don't know, the constraints maybe, or maybe it was just, I don't know. I just felt like everything seemed conservative until the last 2 weeks. Even with a loss last week to Kansas City, I just felt like the offense is clicking better, or maybe just everybody's relaxed.
Well, I think there's more creativity to the offense. And, you know, an obvious example is the full house backfield with all three running backs. We did not see that under Todd Haley, and we wouldn't have seen that under Todd Haley. But just in a simpler terms, when you have that balance and you have the right play calls and the play action sets it up, then you can distribute the ball because you're not relying on Jarvis Landry to beat his guy all the time. Play action opens things up. So when Baker turns around, guys are running free because linebackers are committed to stop the run. And the defense doesn't know what's coming. And that means you can look for Breshad Perriman on one play and Antonio Callaway on the next. And there's a good chance they're going to be open because they're schemed open. And we just didn't see that consistently enough under Todd Haley. But we have under Freddie Kitchens. And this doesn't mean Freddie Kitchens is North Turner or Bill Walsh or Sean McVay. It just means he's better than what we've seen. And he's able to have this balance right now that opens up a lot of things for Baker Mayfield. And then it also helps when your quarterback is as accurate as Baker was yesterday.
Scott Petrak joining us, Chronicle-Telegram, BrownZone.com. The talk immediately, folks, are all fired up about Greg Williams. And Andy and I had said, you know, you got to be open-minded here. What happens if Greg gets on a hot streak? All right? They look good yesterday. What happens if Greg gets on a hot streak?
It would have to be a really, really hot streak. I mean, we're talking, in my opinion, he would have to go 5-1 after the bye to have any chance of coming back as head coach. I leave a much larger door open for the chance of a coordinator coming back as coordinator, depending on who the next head coach is. But
we're so reactionary, and that's how the NFL works, and that's how they want it to work, where on Monday it's, oh, my gosh, look at this Browns team. The same Browns team that lost four straight games, right? They looked different yesterday, but, you know, they didn't change players. They're the same team, and I know they did change coaches. But Greg Williams is also the same guy that was responsible for Bountygate, right? He has a losing record in his only time as a head coach back with Buffalo. So I like what he's done. I think he's calmed. There's no doubt he's calmed the situation since Hugh and Todd Haley were fired, and he deserves credit for that. And I believe guys will play hard for Greg throughout the rest of the year. I just don't think he's your future head coach. I think there's better options out there, and I think we're falling. I think we're falling a little bit for he's way better, or he's better than Hugh was. That doesn't mean he's the best choice.
Do you think we'll ever be able to shake off the Bountygate thing? Because Jeff and I were talking about it. I've kind of let it go, but, you know, Menigan brought it up. You just brought it back up. I mean, is Bountygate going to haunt him for the rest of his life?
I think it will. Here's what I think. If the only chance he has to become a full-time head coach is in this kind of situation, where he takes over his interim, impresses the bosses, and you have to keep him. I don't think any of the other teams could have an open coaching search and say, we're going to hire this guy who was suspended for a year for one of the worst, you know, scandals in NFL history. And I know it's a long time ago, but that's a bad headline, and I think it's bad PR when there's other qualified candidates out there. So, you know, I'm not sure there'd be a big backlash here because he's been here for a couple of years and he would have won games to get that job. I just don't think he could do it anywhere else. And, you know, there's a lot of good coaches around. And, you know, I don't think anybody would have thought, yeah, you know, we all knew he was going to get fired. I don't think anybody thought that Greg Williams should be the next guy. And that doesn't change in my estimation just because they beat the Falcons. Now, if they make a run and get close to going to the playoffs, I'll reconsider. But, you know, I think we're being a little premature with that.
I would agree with you on that. Scott, thank you, buddy. We appreciate it. Enjoy the bye week.
Hey, thanks, fellas.
A little travel. Go ahead, Scott. Have some fun.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.